Today, property gaslighting continues in spades. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics Web, that it's Post covering finance and property news. Well, once again, we're off to the races with preliminary auction clearance rates being spruced to high heaven over the weekend. As I discussed recently, these numbers are misleading because they rely on reported results, which are biased towards successful outcomes while avoiding the gap between listed and reported results. Take Domain, for example. In Sydney this last weekend, while 719 properties were listed, only 481 were reported, with 365 sold. That created a clearance rate of 75.9%. In Melbourne, 616 were listed, but only 449 were reported, and 311 sold. That created a clearance rate of 69.3%, which, by the way, was lower than their 72.1% last week. Or, according to the AFR, home buyers shrugged off the Reserve Bank's decision to hold interest rates steady, with auction clearance rates holding firm as buyers try to get in amid early signs of renewed price growth in capital cities. They cite preliminary figures from data firm Cotality showing a national auction clearance rate of 72.9%, just below the 73.1% recorded a week earlier, and not far from the year-to-date high of 74.5% achieved 4 weeks ago. The clearance rate has remained above 70% for five consecutive weeks. They fail to talk about the absolute volumes, of course, and that is the bit of the data that is really missing completely. Melbourne, they say, remains the country's busiest auction market, despite the school holidays, with 630 homes taken to auction, down from 767 a week earlier, but broadly in line with the 628 held during the same week last year. The city's preliminary clearance rate fell to 70.5%, which of course is different from Domain's. In Sydney, 578 homes were taken to auction, up from 560 a year earlier. The city recorded a preliminary clearance rate of 76.2%, equal to its highest results so far this year in mid-February. SQM Research Managing Director Louis Christopher was quoted saying that the market was in recovery mode, and that the Reserve Bank's decision to keep interest rates on hold only pushed back an influx of sales by a month or two. Prices are rising, in my view. They're not galloping yet, he said. I think the next rate cut, it's going to happen, and I think we'll see a lot of buyers entering the market. We're getting close to some more accelerated housing price rises, but we're not quite there yet. Both Sydney and Melbourne posted price increases of 1.1% in the June quarter, following a short and shallow correction. According to SQM Research, these cities are expected to post price increases of 6 to 10% for the entire 2023 calendar year. Among the smaller capital cities, Adelaide posted the strongest result, with 75 properties taken to auction and a preliminary clearance rate of 75.6%. That was up from 65.7% a week earlier and above the year-to-date average of 67.3%. In Canberra, 61 auctions were held, the lowest in 6 weeks, with a preliminary clearance rate of 68%, down from 73.1% the previous week. Brisbane recorded 103 auctions, its lowest volume in 12 weeks, with a clearance rate of 61.3%, a 6-week low. Now, as to the question of price rises, well, it depends where you look. So today, I'm going to illustrate that by examining my data over the past 10 years with a focus on units in a few different suburbs across the country. The key point here is to note the variations in these different locations, averaging masks, as I continue to say. So I'm going to start this journey through units, looking at North Ryde units, postcode 2113. You can see that median prices are lower now than they were back in 2016. Sure, they went up a bit, then dropped quite dramatically through to June 2019, went sideways, and has slid a little further now. And if we look at the percentages, you can see there, wild swings. There was a very significant rise in June 2020 after a significant fall in June 2019, a rise of just below 5% in 2014, but now a fall of 5% in June 2025. And in fact, even if you bought early on, you probably are sitting potentially on a loss. And this is a very important observation. In this particular postcode, prices have been going sideways and probably will continue to go sideways. Why? More supply, more units, cookie cutters being built, and a limit on what people can afford to buy there. Now I'm going to look at Chatswood units. That's postcode 2580. And here, a bit of a different story. You can see the prices have been rising, not dramatically. They were under a million back in 2016, and now they're close to 1.2 million with some minor wobbles. And looking at the percentage change, you can see that there have been small movements. There was a drop between June 2017 and 2018 of around 2%. There were rises of around 4 or 5% in 2021 and 2023, and then a 2% rise in 2025. So once again, it shows you that not all locations are behaving in the same way. Next, we're going to have a look at Melbourne property in Docklands. This is again units in postcode 3008. And here you can see there's been some quite crazy moves. The average price back in 2016 was around $620,000. Today, the average price is around $580,000. And the journey has been down, significant drop in June 2018, a significant rise in June 2022, but still below their peak. And we can look at that in percentage terms as well. And we can see that there was a fall back in 2018 of more than 10%, a rise in 2020 and 2022, and then a subsequent small fall in 23 and 24. So it's quite likely that people are sitting on property values lowish compared with what they bought. Now we're going to look at Parramatta units, postcode 2150. And here you can see that the median price is a little higher now. It's around 620,000 compared with 570,000 back in June 2016. Now remember, of course, this is not inflation adjusted. This is absolute median values. And it's worth noting that there was a significant run up in June 2017. We got to close to 620,000. There was a fall in June 2019. It went sideways in June 2021, a small fall in 2022, and then a slight rise in 23 and 24. And we can show that in percentage terms too. There was a fall of more than 6% in June 2019 and a rise of more than 4% in June 2024, but a 2% rise in June 2025. Now we'll go to Newstead in Brisbane, units again 4006. And there we can see that prices, which started back in June 2016 at just over $600,000, did ease back up till June 2021, reach roughly the same price. And they have been accelerating away. So today they are well above $800,000. And here is the percentage changes. So there was a fall back from 2016 to 2018, a rise in 2019, a further rise in June 2022 and 2024. And the rate of growth has eased back, but even last year, it was above 10%. Now we're going to look at Wollongong units, postcode 2500. And here you can see that there's been a relatively steady climb, although we did have a slight pullback in 2017 through 2019 and a pullback in June 2023. Typical price around $500,000 in 2016 and is now around $750,000 to $770,000 now. And here are the percentage changes. So a significant swing up, 20% higher in 2017, a very significant fall down 5% in 2019, a 15% swing up in 21, a fall of around 5%, and a little bit of a fall this year too. Now we're going to look at Glebe units, postcode 2037, and here we can see that prices have been moving up, although not uniformly. There was a bit of a fall in 2018 and 2019, started at around $800,000 and now around $1.2 million. And looking at the percentage changes, there were some significant moves, but not that dramatic. 10% down in 2019, a significant rise, more than 15% in 2024, and then a bit of a ease back in 2025. And just to round out the discussion, here's Nedlands units in Perth, postcode 6009. And here you can see that after a bit of a wobble from 2016 to 2019, where prices dropped from around 700,000 down to around 500,000, prices have been rising quite significantly since then. And today, they are well above $900,000 on average. And looking at the percentage change, you can see here some significant falls and then a massive run-up to June 2021 of more than 25%, and then smaller increases, but considerable increases in subsequent years. And that's really the point. Different places are doing very different things. If you bought in Netherlands, you'll be feeling very different about property than if you'd bought a unit in North Ryde, for example. Now, it's worth reflecting on these differences when reading the recent AFR article that said the wealth divide between people who own a home and those who do not is likely to reach record levels next year as property values keep rising faster than household incomes and owners benefit from further interest rate cuts. They write that industry analysts and major banks expect home prices to increase by as much as 13% by the end of 2026, and there could be as many as 4 cash rate cuts by May. New home buyers are rushing to get ahead of the expected boom, they said, wedged between prices that have risen 40% in the past 5 years, well, look at those charts, and stagnant wages growth. The Reserve Bank of Australia expects wages to rise by just 3% in 2026. Research by property insight firm Cotality shows the nation's median dwelling value was $812,600 in December 2024. That was 7.9 times higher than the typical annual income for the household, which was about $1,975 a week. According to the research, by next year, the cost of an average Australian home could cost 8.4 times the typical household income. That's the highest dwelling value to income ratio since at least 2021. Greater Sydney is by far the least affordable city for homeowners and prospective home buyers, where the dwelling value to income ratio is 9.7. That could surge to a whopping 10.3% by the end of next year, beyond its peak of 10.2 back in 2022. As of December 2024, Greater Sydney's median dwelling value was about $1.184 million, and the average household income was around $2,355 a week. At the other end of the spectrum, the nation's most affordable place to live is regional Northern Territory, where a home costs around 3.7 times more than a household income. Cotality head of research Tim Lawless believes property values will continue to rise faster than household incomes, increasing the dwelling value to income ratio across capital cities and the regions. A lot of people aspire to own a home and paying down a mortgage, but demonstrating an ability to service the loan when prices are already quite high is difficult, Lawless said. Homeowners have been able to build up equity in their home and are probably in a much better situation where they'll find access to upgrading or downsizing more straightforward simply because they've had the benefit of time in the market. Following the RBA's meeting on Tuesday, the big four banks updated their forecasts for when they believe the cash rate will be cut. All indicated that there will be at least 2 more 0.25 percentage point cuts by the end of the year. Commonwealth Bank and ANZ believe the cash rate will be slashed in August in November, resulting in a 3.35% cash rate by the end of 2025, while NAB predicts three more cuts to sit at 3.10 by February, and Westpac is the most optimistic, with four rate decreases, taking the rate to 2.85% by May next year. These predictions follow the RBA's surprise decision on Tuesday to keep the 3.85% cash rate on hold for at least another month. From the first rate cut on February the 19th through to July the 7th, Cotality's Daily Home Value Index, which tracks changes in Australia's residential market values every day, increased by 2.3%. That's equivalent to an $18,000 rise in the nation's median dwelling value. Values rose more than 2% in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and Perth, and just under 2% in Adelaide, while Darwin experienced the largest gain as values have risen about 6%, but on extremely small numbers, of course. Julie DeBont Barker of National Buyers Agency Property Homebase said her business had a 40% increase in first home buyer inquiries in the most recent financial year. And in the past 2 months alone, a 53% surge compared with the previous 10 months. That speaks volumes on what's going on with first home buyers. They're out there in force, she said. First home buyers are looking at apartments or even townhouses. If they're looking at houses with any amount of land, then they could be up against investors. And that's a driving force to the prices going up. Demand is really, really acute in Victoria, but it's also in South Australia, where we have boots on the ground there, and Queensland. And she adds that many first home buyers are going to the bank of mum and dad, which she had barely heard of even 5 years ago. There was also a big increase in Rentvesta clients, or those who purchase a home and lease it out. For Rentvestas, what they can afford, they don't want to live in. They don't want to live in rural areas, or they don't want to be interstate, she says. They know that they can get into the property market somewhere else and then rent. Hopefully, if they do it wisely, they'll make some money and then buy their home. I'm seeing that a lot more. So here you go. Spruiking, spruiking, spruiking. And let me stress again, the problem is not all property in all locations is behaving the same way. And these statistics that are rattled out each week are totally and completely misleading. They tell you nothing at all. In fact, worse than that, they are deceiving. So as I said at the top of the show, my concern is that many people are going to make bad decisions based on the gaslighting that we're getting from social media, from all of the property spruikers who write in the papers. And as I keep reminding everybody, remember that most of these newspapers have very strong links directly with the property sector. So you need to ask the question, how objective are they really at all? The bottom line is this. If you are thinking about getting into the property market, it is worth doing your homework, looking at the local data, and getting very familiar with the granularity there. Don't be caught out by these high-level stories, which are just deceiving people. And what it means quite often is that people end up buying property that they subsequently regret buying. Now, I'm a fan of property, but you have to buy the right property in the right location at the right time at the right price. And that, of course, is the trick. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.